Lecture 18, Younger Officers, Part 1, Robert Emmett Rhodes.
With this lecture, we move back to our biographical format. We're going to look at the development of younger officers, the young officers who provided the best means of dealing with the problem of attrition, which we discussed last time. This is the first of four lectures that will examine a group of talented commanders who began the war as junior officers, climbed rapidly on the basis of excellent performances to positions of considerable authority, and directly controlled much of the most successful fighting in the history of the Army. Robert Emmett Rhodes, 32 years old and a graduate of the Virginia Military Institute when the war opened, earned distinction as a brigade commander during the 1862 Maryland campaign and made his debut as a division leader at Chancellorsville. After a lackluster, or at least somewhat lackluster, performance at Gettysburg, he hit his stride during the Overland campaign, where his aggressiveness, alertness, and powerful counterattack at Spotsylvania helped avert disaster on May the 12th. Wounded three times in 1862 and 1863, he was killed in the Shenandoah Valley at the Battle of Third Winchester on September 19th, 1864. A perceptive member of Jubal Early's staff remarked that the Army, quote, never suffered a greater loss save in the great Jackson. Rhodes is another Virginian. He was born in Lynchburg in 1829, a family of considerable means. That you've heard me say that again and again. Most of these young officers came from the slaveholding class and the older ones as well. Our Rhodes' family, not at the very top of the slaveholding aristocracy by any means, but certainly a family of comfortable circumstances. Rhodes entered Confederate service without West Point training or experience in the United States Army, and we're going to use him as a case study of how non-West Pointers, with some military background, however, could enter Confederate service and do very well as Confederate officers. He graduated from the Virginia Military Institute in 1848 at the age of 19. He had an excellent record at VMI. His older brother had attended the school as well. He did especially well in engineering and mathematics. And it's worth a few minutes here to talk about the Virginia Military Institute and Confederate military history. We often think of West Pointers as the principal cadre of officers in both the United States and the Confederate armies. And it's true that they held most of the top positions, but the Confederacy had a distinct advantage over the United States, especially in the Eastern Theater, especially in quality of officers in Lee's Army versus those of the Army of the Potomac early in the war, because VMI, the Virginia Military Institute, contributed hundreds of officers to Confederate service. There's no comparable school north of the Potomac River that does this. By the end of the Civil War, I think something like 1,700 men had gone to VMI. Virtually all of them served in the Army of Northern Virginia. This gave the Army of Northern Virginia a leg up in terms of having, in some cases, company-grade officers and in some cases, field-grade officers, either lieutenants or captains or majors, lieutenant colonels and colonels, who had the benefit of serious military/engineering training from VMI. VMI consciously modeled on West Point. The cadets at VMI got many of the same kinds of training that cadets at West Point got. And the fact that almost all of these men, hundreds and hundreds of them, went into the Army of Northern Virginia really helped strengthen the subordinate command of the Army of Northern Virginia in ways that no other army could claim, either United States armies or Confederate armies. It's a source for very able men in many instances that simply wasn't available elsewhere. There were also a lot of men in Lee's Army who attended the Military College of South Carolina, the Citadel. They also went, many of them, to the Army of Northern Virginia, and that made this advantage even greater, at least until about the midpoint of the war, when many of the true non-professionals who held comparable rank in the Army of the Potomac and other United States armies had learned their craft and had become quite adept at being officers at whatever rank they held. Until then, there's this built-in advantage for Robert E. Lee and his army.